In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I would rather be over there. There's nothing like coming home to make you feel small and young. We were just celebrating the Feast of the Transfiguration about 2 weeks ago and flying over the mountains to come here and seeing the majestic redwoods made me think of that mountain again. And when Jesus was showing his divine glory to Peter, James, and John, they were astounded and fell down. And Peter, not knowing what to say, said, "Lord, it is good for us to be here." And that's how I feel. It is good for us to be here. God protect them. Coming into God's house, coming into God's church, should always be a blessing for us. It should be something that we look forward to week after week after week. We should be circling the feast days on our calendars and saying, "I can't wait to be there again. I can't wait to clean off the filth that clings to me from my pride, from living in the world, doing my best for God in the midst of chaos. Lord, it is good for us to be here." But why are we here really? We are really here because we can meet Christ, and not just meet him, not just hear about him, not just see him in the icons and kiss him mystically through the paint and the wood, but we can be incorporated into his body and share his holy life. This is what I think of when I think of the gospel reading this morning. Our Lord really became a man, the God-man. And when he did that, he spoke with heavenly wisdom, and he worked with heavenly might. Sometimes he was understood, sometimes he was misunderstood. And in the beautiful reading of Peter's walking on the water to him, we see a couple beautiful details. Details we need to pay attention to in order to be incorporated into Christ's life. One of them is after he performed his miracle that was recorded prior to this reading, he withdrew into the mountains to pray. It's amazing to think about. God's Son prayed. Did he have to pray? We could let the theologians work that out. Why did he pray? I think I know the answer. Because he loved his Father and wanted to spend time with him. Because even though he came down from heaven, he really did not leave God the Father, his Father, our Father. He was always in heaven with his Father, on earth with us, eventually in the tomb, in Hades, preaching to the dead, incorporating the dead into his life. He prayed because he wanted to be with God. He was God and wanted to be with God. I also think about Peter getting excited and wanting to rush to Christ. Lord, if it's you, call me and I'll walk out to you. And then getting scared and starting to sink in. Sometimes our zeal runs beyond wisdom. But today I'm really thinking about a Latin lesson. I want to teach you 5 Latin words. These are some of the most important words that have not been translated very often into English. Christus totus. Caput et corpus. We'll say it again, and then you can repeat after me. Pay close attention. Christus totus, caput et corpus. Together. Christus totus, caput et corpus. These were written, these beautiful words were written first by St. Augustine of Hippo, who was commenting on 1 John. In the beginning was the Word. No, that's John 1. Commenting on the Gospel of John, I believe. And he said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word came to dwell with us. And then he said, Christus totus caput et corpus. The total Christ, the whole Christ, totus, total, Christus, Christ, caput, like capital punishment, take your head off, caput, his head, et means and corpus means body, like a corporation. The whole Christ, head and body. Jesus really became a man. And his flesh is continuing in the church. His body is continuing in the church. As cancerous and as disgusting as we are sometimes, as disorganized and dysfunctional as we are sometimes, we are members of the body of Christ. If we look at the book of Ephesians, we see the beautiful passage, I think it's in chapter 2, that Jesus is the cornerstone of the church, and the apostles and the prophets are the foundations, and we are the living stones that God is building his church out of. This is why the iconography is so important. These holy men and women are the living stones who were sure, who really fit into the church. And we are being formed, being smashed, to make sure that we can fit as well. So the whole Christ, head and body, Jesus really became a man. So this is why we come to church, because we can participate in Christ's life. We can participate in heaven. I buried my dear mentor and predecessor, Father Boniface Black, and I was glad to see that you all are praying for him here, Archpriest Boniface. I buried him 2 weeks ago, and he was a wonderful, very serious, but very loving man. And I asked the parishioners at my church to write down things that they remember him saying. And there were lots of long things. He helped me in this time and blah, blah, blah. There was one little sentence. I remember Father saying, I want all of us to be in heaven together. I want all of us to be in heaven together. We had to say goodbye to him. He died just after midnight on August 7th after 36 hours of letting go. And he waited until midnight because the bridegroom comes in the middle of the night. He didn't have his clock anymore, but he has his internal clock. And he knew when Christ was coming for his soul. Just like the Virgin Mary was given a warning, we're still celebrating her dormition. She was given a warning. The Archangel Gabriel came and said, "You have 3 days. 3 days." And because of her humility, she was very bold and she said, "I have 2 requests. One was, I want to see all of the apostles before I go." We forget that she was the mother of the church. We forget that she was the one that people came to for comfort, like they still do. And all the apostles came by a miracle. Of course, Thomas showed up late and all of that. Her second request was, "I don't want to see the ugly faces of the demons, the black ugliness. I don't want that." So Jesus himself came down, and if you look at the icon carefully, you see this. He came down, not incarnate, but not unincarnate. How does it work? We don't know. And he received her soul as she gave it up and escorted her soul to heaven. She had lived with Christ. She had heard the word of God and kept it. And her death was not a death. It was a passing into eternal life. We have the same possibility. We can be in heaven, not just forever and ever, but right now. We can really repent. We can really seek and create silence in our lives. We can really listen to the Word of God and then do it. But you guys are ahead of me in this respect, and forgive me for preaching to you. But Father asked me to. I want to give you a little bit of encouragement. I know that Father Nathan is preparing to teach a class on the Divine Liturgy. And I was asking him about what he was planning to do. And he's going to go throughout church history and find the best and most God-illumined commentators and offer them to you. So that when you're in church, you'll not just know the words and not just the meaning of the words, not just the history of the meaning of the words, but you'll be able to touch heaven, having touched all of the saints who have spoken about the liturgy. Is that Wednesday nights, Father, after Vespers at 6:30? Okay. I want you all to be there. Please. This is our life. This is the mountain to which we are climbing. And I want to close with this. In the Epistle to Hebrews, St. Paul is contrasting the Old Testament priesthood with Christ's New Covenant priesthood. And he talks about the mountain. He says, "You have not come to the mountain that may be touched and that burned with fire and to blackness and darkness and tempest." That mountain where Moses was afraid and all of that. In chapter 12, verse 22, he says, "You have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the General Assembly and Church of the Firstborn who are registered in heaven. That's where my godmother is. I'm sad she's not here with us physically, Korea Terry Elizabeth. But when we are in church, we are united. When we are in prayer, we are united. When we are repenting and serving, we are united. To the spirits of just men made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant. This is why we make the effort to go to church. And this is why it's an effort, because we are climbing the mountain. Every day, every decision, we are either stepping closer up the mountain or we're sliding down. Let's keep trudging up together, as hard as it is, as hopeless as it seems sometimes, because God loves us. You have a cross in your church here. Look at that for a minute. We see a victim, of course. We see a victor. We also see an invitation. Come and give me a hug. Don't stay away. Come and embrace me. I will carry you. I will comfort you. I will heal you. Let us draw near to his presence. Every moment, certainly every Sunday, every feast day, when we wake up, I hope we don't check our phones first. We cross ourselves first. We take care of our business and then we stand at our icons because we are united with Christ and we are united with each other when we're doing that. Every day, every moment can be heaven. Amen.